future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Crew it now.
Welcome back into the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Bellmer here with you on this glorious Saturday afternoon in the fair city of Houston. We're here with you for another hour, back next week, because we work hard unless our back goes out. And, that's it's a very small caveat. We work hard unless we can't get down the stairs. I mean, that's kind of a problem.
You were probably doing something very manly, though, like mowing the yard or building a fence.
Yeah, I mean, no, I was saving an orphan from a burning building next door. It was very heroic of me.
Should have went with mowing the yard.
Should have went with mowing. That was more believable.
There's no building next to you.
At my house? There's other houses.
There's other houses.
What do you think? I live at one house in the middle of a field with nothing around me? Where do you think I live?
I don't know. You might have some land.
No, man. I work in radio. I do not have. Gosh. I do not have land.
Facts.
Okay. All right.
We are peasants.
Yeah. Well, at least on this side of things, we are peasants. There are some people in radio who make money. They are not us. So anyway,
that's why we're here working on a Saturday.
That's why we're here working on a Saturday. Yeah. Do the people who have land can work on a Saturday? No, they don't work on a Saturday.
I think he just assumes everybody over a certain age has land, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, your expectations for me fell short there. I know I'm 41, but no, I do not have, I've got a backyard, but.
Hey, that's more than I have.
That's as far as it goes with, quote unquote, having land. back in the day. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of problems back in the day when it comes to voting requirements. We actually had to, own land to vote. Can you imagine that was still a thing?
I'm not going to say I remember that because wasn't around. But
of course.
Based on books, yes.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I guess technically I would be able to vote because I own a house which has, was that like a quarter acre? I don't know what that would be, like the average house, the size of a yard. Okay, we're getting far too off in the weeds. All right. Bullpen, ESPN Radio, 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back in. One more hour to go. Coming up at 1:30, of course, will be Mount Rushmore plus one, and we will end the show with our worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week. But right now, let's get into some of these NFL tidbits that came out over the last week, get you guys' reaction to it, because I know at least on one thing, and we're going to talk about it right now, one of us, and I'm looking at him right now through the glass, is going to disagree with us here, Cam. But the tush push vote finally happened, and they needed 24 votes to get rid of it. They got 22. So tush push, sanity prevailed, and the tush push remains. One thing I was disappointed by, and I know somebody disagrees with me, Johnny Bellmer, was that the Texans were one of the teams that voted against the tush push. John, I will give you the floor. Like, my initial thought, I think, Cam, from what I heard you say during the break, it sounds like your opinion is at least similar. My opinion on this has always been, don't be soft, just stop it.
Yep.
Like, if this is so unstoppable, one, use it yourself. Two, it's just to play. If Derrick Henry is a 230-pound running back who's unstoppable from one area, are we going to stop that?
Nope.
Because to me, in my opinion, the same mindset of this play is too unstoppable could be applied to plays far beyond just this tush push. So, my opinion, stop it. Second part of that is do it yourself. But, Johnny, take the floor. Why did you feel the NFL missed an opportunity here?
Well, I understand where you're coming from. Like, anytime you walk on the field, it's just like when a pitcher gets mad at somebody hitting a home run. Well, don't throw a ball down the middle. You won't, get a home run blasted off you. I agree with that sentiment. My problem is the Eagles are very good at it. Not a lot of the other teams are very good at it yet, but they will eventually be as long as this play keeps showing success. I don't want all the teams, every time they get to third and two or fourth and one, anytime you get a short down scenario, doing the tush push every single time. It's just not aesthetic. I'd rather see, whatever else you want to put it, I'd just rather see it. Quarterback sneaks don't happen that often. The tush push happens a lot more than just like the regular kind of quarterback sneak. I just feel like I would rather see teams have to actually come up with a play instead of just pushing the quarterback over every single time, because they are going to get better at it. I know they haven't yet, but they will. It's just like I heard y'all talking about it earlier this week. Sort of like a rugby play, right? They, you know, the way they do it. Other teams are going to hire people to come in and teach them how to do that well, and it's going to get better and better. And then that's what it's going to be every time you get a short down scenario. So I don't want that.
Not a fan of pushing the tush.
I do. Hearing John give his side of it, I understand his side more than I did before, you know, he started speaking, because I do think it could get to a point, to play John's theory out, like if every team in the league gets really good at it, hypothetically, and the success rate stays at the rate it is now for the Eagles, which is like 95% or whatever it is, some absurdly high rate that they actually convert on this, although Washington did stop them once during the NFC Championship game. Then it would get kind of boring that if every team in the league, whenever they get to third and one, they just do the tush push every single time. That would get kind of boring. So I get that, but I mean, it's a play. Like you could say to combat what John's saying, you could say same thing about watching the Ravens play. They get to, you know, third and goal from the one, and they're going to hand it to Derrick Henry. Like, we know what's coming.
Yes, but then the other teams can go get a Derrick Henry, and then it's still enjoyable to watch.
But isn't that the same thing? isn't going and getting your Derrick Henry the same thing as going out and learning the tush push?
No, because everybody's just doing the tush push. Like, the tush push is come on now. Look me through my eyes through the glass and tell me that you enjoy watching the tush push.
I don't find it boring yet. I see the scenario though where if every team does it would get boring. But right now I don't view it as boring because it's only one team.
And
like the Bills tried to do it in the playoff game against the Chiefs, they just sucked at it. They kept trying to run Josh Allen left, if you remember that. They kept trying to like have him take like a shuffle step to the left and then dive forward, and the Chiefs stopped it every single time.
See, that's the thing for me is I don't think this is going to be one of those things where all these teams are doing it. Philly does it a lot because they have an exceptional offensive line, and Jalen Hurts has the capability to do it. But it's based on your personnel. Like, there are certain teams that are never going to do it because they don't
have... Like, the Texans will not be doing it with C.J. Stroud. I can guarantee you.
Or if you have a big-ass... long, slow quarterback, you're not going to do the tush push.
I think that's honestly part of the problem with Josh Allen, because he's like Jalen Hurts can get low and push. Josh Allen's so much taller that, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I think that it got brought to a vote, because it's not something that the league is going to do. All these teams are going to do it. It's something that a couple teams do exceptionally well, and that's why it got brought to a vote. If it was something where I think the league thought that every team was going to do it and be successful, it would have never been brought to a vote.
That's a fair point. That's interesting. So that's fair. Depending on the personnel, it's going to make a difference. What's going to happen is just like every other league, there are trends, right?
Yeah.
And so the Eagles do it very, very well right now. Another team's going to figure it out. They're going to do it very well. And then teams are going to start looking at their third down numbers and going, or fourth down numbers and going, well, maybe we should look at personnel to try to get this kind of success rate in short yard situations. And if they just allow teams to continue to do that, it will start trending that way because of the success rate. If you owned an NFL team or coached an NFL team or even was a GM for an NFL team, you're going to look at that and go, that is an advantage. I want to try to get that advantage. And then everybody's going to start to follow that trend.
I mean, I can see that, but you're not going to build and draft a quarterback
for one play
based on hoping that they're successful at doing the tush push.
And we had the Derrick Henry part of this conversation, like, well, isn't that unstoppable? Why wouldn't you ban that? Like, teams could see that Derrick Henry works, but there's only one Derrick Henry. Like, and getting that kind of gets to the point you had earlier, Cam. Like, I don't think it's as simple as let's just run the play and it works. It didn't work for Josh Allen. You have to have the right personnel to run it. So I don't, because of that, I don't think it's going to be a situation to where it does spread out to, you know, 29, 30 teams in the NFL. Everyone's doing it. Like, I don't think there's, I mean, Jalen Hurts is a very unique quarterback from both his, like, he's low enough to the ground to get leverage, and he's a guy that can squat like 700 pounds or whatever it is. Like, there's not a lot of those quarterbacks. CJ Stroud's not doing that. Jaden Daniels is too slight of frame. Bo Nix is, I mean, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can both get that low and be that strong to help complete the tush push.
Yeah. I that's why when it got brought to a vote, I was like, this is stupid.
Quickly before we go to break. So we know the Texans voted to ban it. I don't believe. Well, yes, I agree, but I don't believe for anything from what we know of Tommy Boy owner Cal McNair that Cal McNair, the guy out there flipping burgers, throwing up the H. I've got the H-Town chain on. I don't believe he is coming up with the decision that I'm voting against it. So I kind of think, and actually I kind of hope this is true because I don't want Cal McNair making a lot of decisions. I think he probably went down to D'Amico Ryan's office and, hey, D'Amico, how do you want me to vote? Which I would be disappointed. I'd be disappointed from D'Amico if that is true, although I do want Cal asking, instead of making his own decisions, no, go ask Hannah, go ask Casario, go ask D'Amico. But if you had to guess who from the Texans decided they were going to vote against it, who do you think it would be?
Nick? Yeah.
It's got to be D'Amico, right? The defense.
I kind of think John's right because Casario could have been lying when he said it, but he kind of leaned toward, like he had comments at the combine that leaned towards, I don't want to see plays banned. But D'Amico, as a defensive coach, is like, we can't stop that. I could see him. Now, I think it's soft if D'Amico did that because, I don't know, to me there's an integrity aspect of this. Like, well, coach better.
That's what I'm saying. As a former middle hard-hitting linebacker, I would be upset.
I would hope
D'Amico
he'd want to take on the challenge rather than run from it. But if I'm breaking down the odds of who would have voted against this or who decided to vote against this, it's probably the defensive guy who doesn't think he can stop
it,
right?
Well, the thing is when the hell do the Texans ever face that? They don't play Philadelphia?
Yeah, once every 4 years.
Like,
But he could be thinking like John does that, you know, okay, maybe the Colts start running this with Anthony Richardson. You know, maybe
that's not happening.
because he would have tapped out of the game. He wouldn't even be in. But maybe he could believe that other teams in the league are going to start trying to do this and trying to kill it before it becomes a problem for him.
Yeah.
Hypothetically. I think that is the interesting. I mean, we're never going to get the truth of who decided from the Texans to vote against it. I guess it could be Cal in the sense that it could be Cal deciding to vote with like his buddies, like whatever owners he's tightest with, he's got the best relationship with. He might have just piled on with them and said, "I'll vote how you vote." But I do think it's an interesting question or conversation to figure out who would have voted against this from the Texans. All right, on the other side of the break, we're going to get into the flag football being admitted to the Olympics and also college football changing not only the seeding, but potentially changing how many teams are in the playoff in the upcoming years. That and more when the bullpen returns. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. With you here until 2 o'clock, Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you. And we're going to get into the college football playoffs here because some potential changes down the road look to be imminent, but a change has officially been made. And I think it's been universally liked other than maybe from the fans of the teams that this would affect. I maybe Arizona State fans, Boise State fans wouldn't like it because it would have meant something different for them last year. But the college football playoffs have decided starting next year, instead of the teams that, because the highest five conference champions will still get in, but those teams will not necessarily get a bye.
Yeah.
That obviously last year, Boise State, Arizona State, they would have made the playoff even in this new system, but they wouldn't have gotten a bye. They're now going to a straight seeding to where, okay, you win your conference, you're in, but that doesn't guarantee you a bye. Instead, we're just going to go straight seeding 1 through 12 and seed them the way the rankings do. I'm a huge proponent of this. I mean, I like that teams get in because they win their division, but I don't think a team like, where was Arizona State before the playoffs last year? Like the 13th team in the nation, 14th team in the nation, something like that. And now you're given a top four seed? Like, I mean, Boise State was a little bit higher than that. They might have been the 8th or 9th team in the nation. And now you get a top four seed. Like, it will never happen in the NFL, but I would also support it in the NFL. Like, I would like to see, like last year, you had the 14-win Minnesota Vikings had to go on the road to face the 10 or 11 win Rams. Like, yeah. I let the teams in the playoffs who win the division, but whoever has the better record should get the home game.
Yeah. No,
or the home game or the bye.
I'm on board.
Yeah. I don't even know what – I'm trying to figure out what the argument against it would be. I guess some people care more about division titles than I guess we do. Like, I what would the argument even be against it? I guess a team from a lower conference that knows, like, even if it runs the table, like Boise State, even if they run the table, they're probably not getting into the top four in the nation. Although Cincinnati made the playoffs a few years ago, so I guess it's hypothetically possible. Although, you know, obviously that's rare. That's you know, very few times that's ever happened. But, like, I don't even know what the argument would be against it.
I'm not sure you could. Honestly, you could make.
But overall, I think that's a very positive development to have the straight sitting there for the playoffs. All right, so the proposed model for the 16-game playoffs, which is, won't happen next year, but I think we get it as early as 2026, maybe 2027 at the latest. But it looks like we're going to go from a 12-game playoff or 12-team playoff to a 16-game playoff. And I think what's causing the most controversy is not the addition of four additional teams to the playoff bracket. It's the idea of certain conferences getting automatic bids. Now, obviously, if you're a fan of an SEC team or a Big Ten team, you probably don't care because that's just helpful for, you know, your squad potentially. But fans of Big 12 teams, ACC teams, and certainly the teams that wouldn't necessarily win their conference, but, you know, be those next teams down, might not be as big of a fan of it. But the idea would be four SEC teams, four Big Ten teams, two ACC, two Big 12, one group of six, and then three at large, making up your 16-game or 16-team bracket. What are your thoughts on that, Cam?
Again, I'm on board. You want to see the best product out there, and sorry, but right now the Big Ten and the SEC have the best teams in football, so it makes sense for them to have. And with all these teams changing and conference alignments, like obviously some of these larger conferences, it's going to require more teams coming from that conference into the playoff system. I mean, if the conference is 16 teams deep, it makes sense to have four compared to a conference that's only 10 deep. Like it just so.
Yeah, I kind of think some of the like I get the sentiment from people who say like. Because you're right. Like, I mean, the SEC and Big Ten, I don't think anyone would really argue with it, are the two best conferences in college football. There's really not an argument against that. But I get the sentiment that they still should have to earn it. Like, just because you're in that conference yeah. doesn't mean you should get an automatic, you know, there are going to be years where the Big Ten maybe only has three top 25 teams. Well, they shouldn't get a fourth team. Same thing with the SEC. Now, they far less likely, I think, of the SEC. But I get the sentiment of, they should have to earn it. They shouldn't just be gifted it. I totally understand that. But I kind of think we're talking about whether or not we have this automatic or we don't have this automatic. We're kind of talking about the same result.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking 16 teams, how many times are four SEC teams not going to be worthy? I mean,
never.
I mean, just this last year, I mean, obviously you had Georgia, you had Texas, you had Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Alabama just missed. Like you're going to have a bunch of teams up there. Same way with the Big Ten. Like I mean, Ohio State's almost always going to be there. Oregon's almost always going to be there. Penn State's usually great. Michigan had a down year, but they're usually there. Like whether or not they guarantee it or they actually quote unquote make them earn it. Either way, I think you're talking about the final 16 team bracket, including four each from the Big Ten, the SEC. So I kind of think we're getting upset, or not us, but people who are upset about the quote unquote guarantee are kind of getting upset over nothing, because whether or not the guarantee is there, most likely, I would even put it like 90%, you're still going to end up with four each. So this may come off as elitist from a person who roots for an SEC team. But I kind of think the bigger problem with the guarantees is for the ACC and the Big 12, because unlike the SEC and the Big 10, like I don't know it. Like I think it'd be far less frequent that you're going to have to reach for a second team from one of those conferences than you'd have to reach for a fourth team from the Big 10 or the SEC.
Yeah, especially with Clemson not being what it used to be. Because what is it? What Clemson, Florida State.
Clemson, like Miami barely missed. So, yeah. I mean, with an expanded field, I think Miami would have made it. Like, they would have been the second team. But Arizona State and I guess last year would have been BYU was the second team. I'm trying to think of who would have been. Like, I mean,
and those two teams are not consistently good at football. So,
yeah, I just – like, you're right. They're not – every single year, but I just think that when you look at the Big 12 and what remains from that conference after Texas and Oklahoma left, and you look at the ACC and where they are now, there's going to be I don't know if it's as high as half of all seasons, but there's going to be a fair number of years where there's only one team that really deserves to be in the playoffs. So I think the idea, if we're going to have a problem guaranteeing playoff spots over just making teams earn it, I think we're going to end up looking back at it and seeing more problems with the ACC and the Big 12 getting a second team versus the two power conferences getting the fourth.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So, all right. So, quickly before we go to break, let's talk about this flag football thing. Like, there's starting the 2028 Olympics, not only is there going to be flag football in the Summer Olympics, but we're also going to have NFL players in the Summer Olympics to compete for flag football. Now, my first thought on this is I don't want to see a single Texan. I don't want to see a single Texan. Kind of the same thing I feel about the World Baseball Classic. I don't want to see a single Astro in that because Jose Altuve gets hit on the hand and busts his hand up. Jose Urquidy and I think it was Christian Javier both got dinged up this last time around. Like, I think it's probably safer than what the World Baseball Classic is. Like, the World Baseball Classic, they're having to start, like, spring training early, like, leave, like, ramp up really quickly, then come back. You're adding all the, especially for pitchers, you're adding on extra innings to their arms each year. Flag football probably safer as far as the concern about injuries, but I do not want a single player from one of my teams, from the Houston Texans, on the flag football team for Team USA or any of these other countries, because the idea of, in July, Nico Collins twists an ankle, and now, or hell, let's make it worse. He tears his ACL in July playing flag football against Sweden, and now he's out for the year.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind.
And just because it's flag does not mean injuries don't occur. Because
right.
I play flag football, and there is an injury every single game, and it's usually something that's foot or ankle related.
Well, I mean, you are talking about like 30-something teachers.
Oh right, no, right. These aren't teachers. Some of these guys that we play with are like semi pro flag football players. Like, they travel the country and stuff.
Wait, you could be a semi pro flag football player?
I could probably not be.
No, I'm not saying you are. Like, I'm just saying there's a thing of making money from flag football.
Oh yeah, we have like three guys on our team that are on like a traveling team. They
really?
Go to like Vegas and like
they actually make money with this. People pay to watch.
It's not their full time job, but yeah,
it's supplemental
like income. But no, I mean, to your point, injuries can definitely happen in flag football, especially when you're talking about NFL players who are already hella competitive.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to want to get shown up playing France or Spain or whoever.
Exactly.
Like, just because there's not tackles, just because there aren't, you know, the he got jacked up hits that we used to see on the ESPN NFL show, just because there aren't those big collisions doesn't mean you couldn't try to juke a guy and tear an ACL.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean that you could have, you know, the dreaded non-contact Achilles injury where it just pops while you're running.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the idea of potentially losing. Like, I think if you're looking at players that could really be on there from the Texans, I think Derek Stingley would be like one of the top candidates to go on.
No,
what you don't
you really believe that?
Well, he's got to play. Play defense.
Yes, but do you really believe any of these NFL teams are going to let any of their actual the entire team is going to be nothing but practice squad players going to this?
They still might win.
NFL team is going to allow any of their superstars to touch a flag football.
I don't want to make a bet for 4 years or 3 years from now, because that's too far out.
Yeah.
But there's going to be an NFL, a meaningful NFL player.
I guarantee you there will not be.
They
won't tell us. They're not letting them go. But you're going to see that it's going to be all players. You're going to be like, who? Somebody
Then why they vote to allow the NFL players in?
I think it's just because I don't know. I have no idea why. But it's not happening. There is no way it's happening. Teams would, I bet you anything, owners, coaches, whatever, they're going to make deals with these players behind their back. I will give you an incentive bonus or something. Do not go play. I will give you money to not go play in this. They're not going to allow it. I promise you.
I mean, couldn't you say the same thing, though, about the World Baseball Classic? Couldn't you say the same thing about NBA players in the Olympics?
Yeah, but I feel like the World Baseball Classic has more, well, I don't know what I'm trying to say, more meaning than flag football.
Okay, sure. Okay, what about NBA players in the Olympics? I mean, you
still
could say
more meaningful.
They're both the Olympics.
Brian.
That's a fair point, B-Mac.
They're both the Olympics.
They're both in the Olympics, but Olympic basketball has been around forever, and we know how competitive.
I'll concede it's more prestigious. I'm not even talking about prestige, though. I guess your argument is they allow them because it's more prestigious, and that's a fair point. But, like, the risk, like, if you allow, you know, let's say, obviously, Şengün goes to play for Turkey. Let's say Amen Thompson eventually plays for Team USA. That being the risk of that flag football player going out and getting hurt if you allow, let's say, Derek Stingley would be about the same, or even maybe a little less, but I mean the risk would still be there, just like it would be for an NBA player playing in the
Summer Olympics. Oh no, 100%. But I think it's just one of those things where with the Olympics and the World Baseball Classic, those countries are putting out their best players, like the elite players. In flag football, it hasn't grown and hasn't built up enough steam to where it makes sense to throw out your best players. Like I like he said, you could throw out the practice squad players in the NFL, and they could still probably
win. They would dominate the rest
football.
Of the world.
Like,
yeah,
so you don't even have to put out the best NFL players.
I mean, could you imagine Derrick Henry ragdolling? You know, I know it's well, I mean, flag
it's
football.
Flag football.
But
so,
collisions
yeah.
are going to happen in especially when you're at such a high, you know, speed, like rate of speed and competitiveness and all that. Like, could you imagine if one of the superstars of the NFL, non-contact injury, goes out there and just tries to cut, tears their ACL, tears their Achilles, whatever.
That's why like, I'm saying what I'm saying. Like,
Tyrod Taylor could go win you a flag
yes,
football championship
exactly.
in the Olympics.
Josh Johnson, like
Mason
there are guys
Rudolph.
That can go do it. Yeah, Mason Rudolph.
No, he's not agile enough. You have to have an agile quarterback
know, like,
in flag football.
I think we have.
I'd sacrifice
the
Davis
Mason
Mills.
Rudolph.
I'd sacrifice Davis Mills.
Long neck Mills.
So Team USA will be Davis Mills throwing to John Metchie. Is that what you're telling me?
Sure.
And
come on. You can get there. Dare
Okumbawamba.
Agumbawale. There you go. Well,
he could be your running back.
That's not Agumbawamba. Good Lord.
Dario.
I thought you were about to say Chumbawamba. You were stumbling on that so bad. All right. We got to get out. Enough flag football talk. When we can get back on the other side of the break, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome in to Mount Rushmore Plus One, the sports radio landscape-changing, award-winning segment that'll get Cam, John, and myself, and Sean Mapes into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame one day. Far less than the 27 years it took the morning show to get into the Hall of Fame. That's, my favorite bit that we do on the show. The guy doing radio on a Saturday afternoon is taking shots at the Hall of Famers who've done it for 27 years. I hope anyone who hears me say that line every week knows with how much sarcasm I'm saying it.
Oh,
now I know you're using sarcasm.
You broke
Cam's about
look
sarcasm.
At that.
Yeah, but yeah. Sorry, I will stop breaking character. We will get in the Hall of Fame far less years than those bums on the morning show. Okay, character reinstated. All right, Mount Rushmore Plus One. Does anyone want to go first, or shall I? Sounds like I shall.
Okay.
All right. I was just waiting to see if someone wanted to jump in, but I will go with my list right now. So this was inspired by the Game 1 choke of the New York Knicks. Mm. Up, well, I think it was 14 with 2:50 to go, up 9 with just under a minute to go. Something that had never been done in NBA history. Both of those situations, up 14 with 2:50 to go, up 9 with 55 seconds to go, and then lose, never done in NBA history until Wednesday when the Pacers pulled that off. So, in honor of that choke job, my Mount Rushmore Plus One this week is the foods that would be most embarrassing to choke to death on. Like, if I die, and you guys find out, like, oh, man, B-Mac died. First off, probably a little happy, I'll admit it. Like, I especially after I nearly killed Johnny today, he might do a little fist pump, like, God, finally that bastard's out of my life. But, like, this would, well, I could say that. It's Saturday. I could say that. Come on, right?
We don't think I don't know, like that.
Dump it if you want, Johnny. I know I'm playing. It's the character. Okay, anyway, back in character. But, like, if you guys were to find out, like, well, how did B-Mac die? It's like, oh, he choked to death. Really? Like, what on? These are the most embarrassing foods I would hate for you guys to find out that I choked to death on.
I like this.
You're right? All right. So, first one on the list. And this is mostly because I hate the store. I feel like my soul dies every time I have to go inside of it. But if I die on Swedish meatballs from IKEA, I mean, dig me out of the ground and kill me again. Like, that would be very, very embarrassing for me. If headline, local weekend radio man dies eating Swedish meatballs from IKEA, that would be highly embarrassing.
But do you enjoy them?
I've never actually had them out of principle because I hate IKEA with all my heart and my soul. I cannot stand that store.
But Swedish meatballs are very good.
I've never had them either.
I'm sure they are. I can't eat them out of principle because I don't want to give IKEA more money than I'm obligated by marriage to give them. So that is the idea there.
I am curious to know on a scale of other countries' meatballs, where Swedish meatballs.
Well, next week, do a Mount Rushmore Plus One on meatballs.
I'm
giving you the list right now. You got a week to do the research. All right, next on my list of foods most embarrassing to choke on. If you find out I choked to death while eating at a Luby's, I would be highly embarrassed. Like I know B-Mac's the oldest guy on the show, but bro was eating at Luby's?
You wouldn't be the first person to die at Luby's.
Facts. But he died of eating the fried fish.
Oh, no, not the fried cod.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are all things, like you initially would be sad, like, oh, man, B-Mac died. How'd he die? Oh, he choked the Luby's. Like, there'd be a little bit of, See? Okay, you're making my point. All right, number three on this list, a gas station hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Choking on the glizzy.
Yeah, that's brutal. That'd be pretty bad. That'd be pretty bad. Not only a hot dog, but bro got it at a 7-Eleven. Like, that would be...
Oh, even worse. I thought you were going to at least say, like, Valero or something. Something a little more high-end gas station.
Wait.
I was going to say high-end gas station hot
There's
dog.
There's no such thing, Cam.
Is Valero a high-end gas station hot dog? Wait a second.
I don't know. I don't eat them.
No, you're a foodie. Yeah, you would never.
I would rather eat a hot dog from Valero than a 7-Eleven.
I don't think there's anything on this list that you would eat.
Probably not.
Yeah, because you're a foodie. Yeah, I get it. All right, so IKEA Swedish meatballs, Luby's, gas station hot dog. Next on the list, and I do eat this from time to time. Cam knows it, John knows it because it's been a topic on the show before, that there's a cycle of I eat it, I regret it, I forget that I hate it, and then I eat it again. It's Jack in Box tacos.
Yep.
Well, like, if you find out that I choked to death eating a Jack in Box taco, that would be highly embarrassing.
The funny thing is some of these foods I find really hard to be able to
hot dog
on.
I think would be easy.
Like, the fried cod just, like, breaks apart. So
well,
that's why
I just said Luby's in general. I just was listing out a food, but yeah, I mean, anything from Luby's.
Oh, trust me, you could choke on those Jack in the Box tacos.
Oh, you could definitely choke on the Jack in the Box tacos. So you could definitely choke on the meatballs and the hot dog. All right, number one on this list. Thank you, Cam. foods that would be most embarrassing to choke to death on: Hot Pockets.
Oh, no!
You find out I choked to death, like, on a Lean Pocket, like... There's gonna be that laugh right there. Proves my point.
At least he was eating healthy.
Like, he was finally getting it together.
I do eat Hot Pockets.
Really?
I do like
you,
Hot Pockets.
You, the foodie, you eat Hot Pockets.
Yeah, I like to drizzle some sriracha on there and dip them in ranch.
Okay, please stop. Well, Do continue talking and giving me your Mount Rushmore plus one. I don't want to hear about the Top Talk. I love
okay.
anymore.
Mine comes from me sitting at the bar last night.
Interesting phrasing.
Thank you.
Continue.
So I really honestly don't know how this popped in my head, but it did.
You were at the bar, so no explanation needed.
Blame the tequila.
Yeah. I can see why you don't remember.
Wax figurines in the house.
What? Okay. All right. This is really stretching the bounds of how random we like to get, but continue.
So, if I was to decorate my house with some wax figurines,
all
the
right.
first ensemble would be Berkman's Tow Hills Catch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Epic moment.
I would also have Pedro Martinez throwing Don Zimmer to the ground.
Oh,
so it would just be Pedro Martinez
moment, yeah.
with his hands on Don
Zimmer's
big-ass head.
Bald head and just chucking him to the ground.
Andre Johnson.
I've given that opinion before that I love that moment. I'm like, oh, he threw an old man to the ground. I was like, well, dude charged him. Like it's not like Pedro decked him.
Yeah, and
he just like sidestepped and like got rid of him. Basically,
and come on, let's be fair. If that was a normal person size head, he wouldn't have fallen like that.
And if
that
it wasn't like a
him.
75-year-old, he would. Like if it was another guy in his athletic prime, he wouldn't have fallen to the ground. Like he was just trying to sidestep.
Don Zimmer
it.
Asked for it.
Exactly. All right, continue.
Andre Johnson throwing Courtland Finnegan.
Sure.
Definitely would have that. I would also have Al Pacino in Scarface.
Now, which part?
Say hello to my little friend.
Okay. All right. Good.
And then my last one, and honestly, I'm 100% real when I say I would put this in my house. I would get a wax figurine of Ken Griffey Jr. mid-swing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go with Selena, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have Selena on the list, too.
Damn.
He's thinking about it.
I mean, like, if there's one thing I know about you, Cam, is that you love Selena. But King Griffey Jr.'s swing was baseball porn. I'm with you there. It was the
most wonderful swing ever. I still get on YouTube and just watch swings of King Griffey.
Well, that's an interesting way to spend your personal time. But John Belmer, you're Mount Rushmore plus one.
Yeah, low-key, you could do everything in your list in Fatheads right now. You could order them online with like the big stickers and put them on the walls.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so mine is a couple weeks old. So it's inspired by the NBA's lottery being rigged. In my opinion, or possibly could be most likely rigged. People say it's not, but this is my top five or Mount Rushmore plus one of things that are most likely rigged, but maybe not in just everyday life. Number five are the claw machines at you see them at like Denny's restaurants or arcades. Those are probably
Has
rigged.
Has anyone ever gotten something out of that? I've never seen someone.
Yeah, Sid from Toy Story.
Yeah, okay. In a movie.
Fair.
You got four items.
Has anyone in real life ever got? I've never seen someone pull something
People
out of
People say
that.
They have, but I've never witnessed it. So until it has, I see it. It's just
Do you
rigged.
See some of the things that they have in those machines now?
No, I haven't been to an arcade in a while.
Expensive stuff, like electronics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, there's a bar in Midtown that has sex items.
Yeah, I was like...
various dildos.
I did not... Okay, all right.
It's really weird.
And
I've seen people play it.
Johnny, I don't know if you knew where Cam was going. If you give me 100 guesses, if I hit the pause, it's like, what is Cam Smith about to say next?
I thought he was trying to figure out how to say it, you know, without making me push the button.
I did not think he was going
to
say sex toys.
The claw machines have really evolved.
All right, continue. They've become a lot more fun.
Yeah. Different kind of claw machine, Cam.
Oh, boy.
Number four on my list are MLM. The marketing, what is it called?
Oh, mid-level marketing.
Whatever it's called.
Like
where
the pyramid scheme
like a pyramid
stuff.
Scheme stuff. Where you think you're going to get in and recruit all your friends and make all this money, and it's really the people.
What was
that,
like
you
Vector,
in,
the
and
knife
you
company?
Bring five other people in, and then they bring five people in. It's like, okay, all
right. Absolutely. Scam. Number three is any sweepstakes. So if you write your name on a piece of paper to win something, like a truck or a vacation or whatever.
Or the ones they do online, like rigged. Win a trip to the Emmys.
Which is also probably rigged.
No one wins those.
No, and I've done that a few times. There's a little smoke shop by my apartment, and every like month they have like one of those like raffle
wheels?
Things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, the prize that they were supposed to give away was still there like a month later.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, so.
Because you just write your information down and they just never give it to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came across that. Took my daughter to an aquarium. Not like the zoo or Moody or anything like that. It was closer to home. But they had someone out with like the big prize wheel, and it was all these different slots of the cities you can win vacations to. Like it was like Vegas. There was Orlando. I forget what the other one was. But they actually, like, the odds on it because of how many slices compared to how many were winners were actually pretty good. It didn't win. But I can't imagine, there has to be 1,000 little asterisks and little caveats to make this completely, like, not the free trip that they promised.
Oh, no, there's things because I know a girl years ago who won one of those, but in order to receive it, she had to go to Conroe for, like, an 8-hour...
See, there it is.
Like,
yeah,
like
okay.
Business session. So, like...
Kind of like the timeshare scam, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry if I gave one away Johnny.
No, you didn't.
Okay, go ahead.
But that, right on the money, though. That's exactly what it is. They make you sit through the thing because they can try to sell you whatever they sell you to give you a free thing. Number two on my list is either mobile or on your phone casinos. Like the slot machines that you can pull on your phone. Like, there's no way those things are fair. Those are rigged to just get you to keep on.
Slot machines in general, I just do not get the appeal.
Yes, but in person, you can kind of at least, you know, you have, like, regulations and stuff that kind of make it seem where it's probably kind of
fair.
Are
you a big slot guy?
No, not at all. Because
I thought you liked slots.
No.
You don't like slots?
Change the O to the U and sure.
Wow.
See, you didn't have to let everyone in on the joke, Johnny. We could have just kept it as it was.
Do you prefer your slots at the corner store?
Hold on. Jeez. We got to get to the show. This show's got to
I'm being serious. The slot machine's at the corner store.
Meet Gene's up next. We got to keep the show respectable.
Yeah, we do.
I apologize. No more slot
Come
talk.
On.
No, that was good, though.
Talk about slots after the show.
All right, number one, because we got to move quick here. Store-bought hot dogs and hot dog buns.
Oh, that's
why do you get 10 hot dogs but only 8 buns? So you have to buy 2 packages of buns. It's a scam.
How many would you have to buy for it to even out? I guess 5 packs of hot dogs, so that would be 40, and then 4 of the hot dog buns?
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hot dogs for me to potentially choke to death on and for you guys to mock later on.
And this is why you go to Valero. You can
buy the high-end hot dogs. The high-end.
One wiener per bun.
Is that your preferred ratio? All right.
I don't know how to answer that.
We got to get to break. The show is quickly running off the tracks. All right, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be back for our final segment in a minute. And then the Mean Gene Show follows us at 2 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. Final segment today of The Bullpen. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you. Stay tuned because after us, the Mean Gene Show follows here at 2 o'clock until 3. So keep it here on ESPN Radio 97.5 now. But right now, before we get to the Mean Gene Show, we're going to end it how we always do, our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. My person, quote unquote, that I hated this week, the New York Knicks. And I relished, and that is a teaser to what I have next on the show, but I relished them losing the first two games of the Eastern Conference Final to the Pacers, because as I was watching game one and what ended up being the epic collapse, I think I realized in the moment how much I hated the Knicks. I hate how Jalen Brunson plays as a free throw merchant, the way he kind of leans into guys and draws contact and fouls, kind of James Harden-esque. Like, I just, it's annoying style to watch. I also found watching Karl Anthony Towns that he looks like a baby giraffe every time he tries to drive to the paint. I've never seen a more talented yet uncoordinated looking man in the NBA than Karl Anthony Towns. Like, he literally looks like he's falling down like an 80-year-old grandma who's trying to get by without her walker every single time he drives into the paint. And then beyond that, I mean, have you guys seen Tom Thibodeau recently? The dye job and the comb over.
Oh, yeah.
My God, bro.
Seriously.
Let it go.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anyone.
Anybody.
But that's what I hate.
We all see what's not there.
Yeah, we all see what's not there. So that's what I hated from sports, or my worst person in sports. Cam, what is your worst person?
I'm going to take it back to earlier when we were talking about flag football.
Uh-huh.
My worst person is the flag football guy, and I should know his name because I'm bringing it up, but I do not. But there was an interview with a—
Because it doesn't matter.
Yes.
To quote The Rock, it doesn't matter what your name is.
He basically said NFL players haven't done anything to deserve to
play flag
football.
Is this the guy that said that he was better than Patrick Mahomes a while back?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that. Again, it doesn't matter what his name is, so I don't
remember. I respect your passion for your sport that you play, but to say that
sport.
NFL players—
Sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hobby.
Quotes,
sorry.
Yeah.
Intense hobby,
yes,
hobby.
Yes.
But to say NFL players haven't done anything to deserve to play in flag football in the Olympics— That's just stupid.
I mean, it's a man trying to hold on to his job. That's all
well,
it
yeah,
is.
Well, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that's all it is. I don't begrudge the man that. All right. Enough of the anger sharks. We're going to go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility. Yes, thank you, Cam, for the visual demonstration there. Doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility and talked about deep breath, what we loved in sports this week. What I love from sports this week, Cam, and I think I caught you off guard when I mentioned this a second ago, and I did say I was relish talking about this, but it was the Oscar Mayer Weenie 500. Yes, it was a race of Weenie Mobiles. We've all seen the Oscar Mayer Weenie Mobile.
Ah.
They actually race these things, and Fox Sports broadcasted it live on their website and their app. The greatest spectacle, it actually happened at the grounds of the Indianapolis 500. So they had this race, and we have a winner. It was the Slaw Dog. So there was like basically hot dogs that represented each like part of the nation. There was a Chicago style dog, a New York style dog, a slaw dog, which apparently is a Southeast thing, Carolina style. There was a chili dog for the South and a Seattle dog, which I didn't know Seattle had its own style of hot dog. That was news to me.
Interesting.
But apparently one of the hot dogs in the first lap started smoking and didn't finish the race. But the slaw dog comes out your winner. What'd you love from sports this week? Just try to top the Weenie 500.
I won't. This happened a couple weeks ago. It's funny because it's also the ties in with the worst person, but mm-hmm. It was when Draymond tried to call out the refs about this point spread.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought not only was that super idiotic and another reason why I despise Draymond, but I also thought in that moment that's also super hilarious that he called out NBA refs for—
I mean, Draymond has a history of that, though.
Yeah, clearly they weren't fixing the spread. It's just funny.
He's also
that he
someone
said that.
Who likes to call out fouls not being committed on him while he's kicking people in the groin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much par for the course for Draymond. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen. For Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I'm Brian McDonald. Thank you for joining us this week. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 for the next hour. The Mean Gene Show has you, and we'll be back next week. Enjoy your weekend, Houston.
Best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.